Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, hosted by yours truly, Imp the Great. This is podcast episode number 11. Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare today. Malcolm X.
Yes, I came to get it in. I'm in the distance scoping. I don't need an update. I'm knowing it's something going on fishy. This rap shit ain't fun no more. I look, that's when the picture became clear. Got to switch a new gear. Fresh like a new pair of kicks. Back on my classic shit. In your ear with the dirty ass mix. While you're knocking in your web with the bitch with the thicks. I'm in the sticks, getting it in. And on machine shit, trying to win. Come on and get in there, full of this here. I'm on your wrist like a citizen. Watch, but it's impossible to shake me. Watch the last apostle, still colossal, breathe. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep it simple, you feel this, simple, you feel this. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep spitting that raw shit, spitting that raw shit. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep it simple, you feel this, simple, you feel this. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep spitting that raw shit, spitting that raw shit. I'm on a mission, bout to floss again, like a dental work. I'm from the school of spitters, getting ready to victimize, stay in pursuit. True, do you get a choice? I'm loud, you hear my voice. Grapple life like hoist grace. See, I be on pace, it's a race. So, yo, I'm gonna steadily chase till it's official. Hit the reset button, we processing. It's my section, I'ma kill it with ease. You know my steez, D had a bead, I had to sneeze on it and get melted in the crannies like Blue Bonnet. Yeah, I'm known for flipping high beats and rolling sweets. It's in the air, knocking out heat. Basically amazing now, we clocking fees. Amazing at work, no time for wasting, breathe. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep it simple, you feel this, simple, you feel this. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep spitting that raw shit, spitting that raw shit. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep it simple, you feel this, simple, you feel this. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep spitting that raw shit, spitting that raw shit. I had a conniption fit, said I was borderline scared. Hold up, I'm feeling it now, coming intensive with it. I'm back again, coming with facts again. Off that boom bap, get it, staying immersed. I'm like clockwork, orange, I stay juiced. I still got a mission to do, while you're fronting like a Muppet named Beaker. Looking at the field of dreams, you're in the bleachers, hating while I stay skating down the city blocks, hating. Only get you got taste on that crap. You've been waiting for this hit to drop. I'm with that top back, lipping that Cali, but we don't swag, and the new breed don't sag. We serious paper making, in the face we making moves, attracting hater boos. Breathe. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep it simple, you feel this, simple, you feel this. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep spitting that raw shit, spitting that raw shit. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep it simple, you feel this, simple, you feel this. I don't need a hook for this, I just keep spitting that raw shit, spitting that raw shit.
You are now listening to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. We support, motivate, and encourage rappers over 30 to stay healthy, relevant, and successful.
Podcasting from a home studio somewhere in Los Angeles County, this is the Rappers Over 30 podcast, and here's your host, Imp the Great.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Happy Thursday, y'all. Yeah, we back. Another episode of the Rappers Over 30 podcast. This is episode number 11. Make some noise, y'all. We still going. Yeah, you know. Yeah, we trying to get to episode 1,000. I'm your motivational host, Imp the Great, formerly known as the Imperator Rhyme, but you can call me Imp. The song you just heard is called Became Clear by 4Zone. Today's show is sponsored by my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/ImpTheGreat. You spell that? I-M-P-T-H-E-G-R-E-A-T. THEGREAT, Imp the Great. So that's youtube.com/Imp the Great. Log on there, y'all. Check out my music, my videos. Please subscribe, you know, share, leave comments. The Rappers Over 30 podcast is a supportive rap podcast for rappers over 30 and the hip-hop community. The podcast has several ongoing topics like diet, health, exercise, music business, staying relevant, and killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the black community. Yeah, we motivational. We want to uplift you. We want to help save the black community. Whether you're from the black community or you're not, whether you're in there or you're not, we got to all pull together to make this happen. Recycle them black dollars, y'all. If you ain't spending no money with a black business, find a black business to spend some money with. The podcast is available on all major podcast apps and, most importantly, rappersover30.com. And let's get back to some more music, y'all. This is Shotgun Funk by Fourzone.
I'm here to spit it. Better yeah, kill it. No bullshitting. This is how I'm living. I get with it quick. Niggas feeling shock and awe, cause I'm gritty with balls while these niggas chasing draws. And I don't mean the feminine type. The way ya lay these patterns down, you're bound to get hype. Say the West ain't got it. Nigga, please, we gon' shine again. This ain't when they veteran blowing trees in the den, trying to be better than the average comp. I'm to the top like a deny. It don't stop with that heat. Niggas like to slap in the streets. I stay made for this shit. The Don stay handling. In the lab, getting sick with it. Blowing tree with the dime, bout to get with it. I lay shit for my niggas out trying to get it. I'm in the game with that final shot, bout to win it.
I got that shotgun funk, slapping in the trunk, ooh. If you're rolling a shot, partner, better roll that, come on. Radio blasting, smashing through the city, yeah.
Now I'm feeling right.
I'm at the stoplight, grinning, wheels still spinning.
I'm at the pitcher's mound, about to change it up. You throwing underhand, nigga, here's a bun. I'm off the first base, second ain't far behind. Third's in my sight, they watch me slide home, getting mine. I'm still on the front line, the mic is my weapon. Big Daddy got Kane on his words, no half-stepping. I'm here to set it, niggas acting rudely. I'm just at the ball, popping bottles, scoping booty. Ha, they call me Zone the Crook. The way I steal the spotlight and get these bitches to look. Later on, I beat it up and get these bitches to cook. I ain't tricking off shit, cause I play by the book. Make my moves chest strategic and kill like the rook. When the beat drops, let the deviants bring it back, yeah. We on again, yeah, it's official. This that boom bap, sit back and roll that.
I got that shotgun funk, slapping in the trunk,
ooh.
If you rollin' a shot, partner, better roll that, come on.
We gon' get you high.
Radio blasting, smashing through the city, yeah.
Now I'm feeling right.
I'm at the stoplight, grinning, wheels still spinning.
Can I get you in?
I got that shotgun funk, slapping in the trunk, ooh.
Come on, get inside.
If you rollin' a shot, partner, better roll that, come on.
Crumbling herb, yeah. Foes honed in the deviants, yeah. Walk ons, Edward Nay, Convince, Pac Div. On my West Coast, soldiers out there grinding, yeah.
Yeah, that was dope, y'all. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, that was Shotgun Funk by Fourzone. Stay tuned for our conversation later in this podcast. Right about now, I want to shout out a comedian. I want to shout out Tiffany Haddish. I recently watched her Netflix comedy special, They Ready. And it was really funny. She had some new comedians I had never saw before, and they was dope. She is always reaching back and giving opportunities to her fellow comedians who deserve a break. She talks about how some of these comedians helped her when she was up and coming, or how they influenced her, and she reaches back and puts them on and gives them opportunities Why don't we see more of this in the rap music game? I'm sure most of my fellow rappers over 30 has helped or influenced someone famous and successful in the rap music industry, and that person just went along and, whoops, I forgot about you. Why aren't these people reaching back? What are we, stepping stones? You forget? You forget I loaned you my MPC? You forget I loaned you my SP-1200? You forget I almost got killed and went to jail? You forget I helped buy you a car? You forget I turned down a Cash Advance record deal? This is for multiple people. And y'all got stories. Y'all got stories too. Tell your story, you know? Fuck it. Tell your story, you know? But they don't reach back and lend a helping hand. Why? I think they got to provide that answer. I can't speak for them. I can't tell you why. I'm just curious. If you on top and you really doing really good and you come from the bottom, you know, you come from the ghetto, you come from the hood, and somebody's been there for you, and now you on top and you celebrating, you doing woo woo woo, you mean you can't even set up a situation to say, hey, look at these guys, they dope. It's a lot of us out here. Long Beach, Inglewood, South Central, Compton, you know, Palmdale, Lancaster, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Baltimore, New York, Harlem, the Bronx, Phoenix. It's probably some in India. I'm gonna get on, y'all. Let's get into some more music. This is Whoa by 4Zone.
I like it when the people say, yeah. I like it when the people say, mm-hmm. I like it when the people say, yeah. I like it when the people say, yeah. My blazer's old and I fit it. Splash on the little Sean John, now I'm sinning. New wearable cap to the back, tilted. Speakers in the back, bang beat just spilling. Let me light that so I can catch me a feeling. Get my grown man on, see the night's young. Ease up in the spot, I can hear the people say, ha. As I make my way to the bar, I'm a true MC, plus your neighborhood star. In your vicinity, you know who I are. 4Zone, I'ma lock it with defense. Seeking dead men walking, guess that's my sick sense working. I'm just here to check up the spot. And the bras they got, she caught me looking straight at them. Now you know my steez and what I'm trying to do. Hit you after the club, can I slide through? Got a sack of that, plus a bottle too. It could be me and you, let me see what it do. Yeah, I like it when the bitches say, yeah, I like it when my niggas say, yeah, you know where it's at. Pissy drunk, full of that, your boy 4Zone's back. Catch me at the after hours, cracking till Cinco. Falling through the cracks in the spot like Plinko. Swig on my flask, only feel what that you know. Now I'm clowning with this liquor all in me. Ha, the DJ got the ladies out. Plus I'm looking for a piece I can route. Gotta have a cool face, I ain't tripping on your waist. We could do it in the place, spontaneous. I just wanna beat it, I'm not saving it. I got the needs for this, I'm not playing with it. I got that shit, I know you're banging it. Cause I'm hearing the cheers, maybe a couple of sneers. But I ain't got no fear, that's why they hating it. On the sideline, wishing with the line now. Fishing with attacks and you're missing, I stay with it. Never situation calls for evasive action. When I make moves, hear the crowd reaction. Stop, got you holding your breath. It's official, Zone put that beat in your chest. Might act nonchalant, but I stay involved with it. I'm trying to get all of it. Yeah, I like it when the bitches say, yeah, I like it when my niggas say, yeah, you know where it's at. Pissy drunk full of that, your boy 4Zone's back.
Yeah, that was Whoa by 4Zone. We're gonna get to 4Zone in a minute, y'all. That's my guest of the day. If you didn't know, now you know. But for now, let's talk about indie rap music bosses doing joint ventures. I think this could be a good thing. I really do. Now listen to my theory. Listen to my idea. I have a song called I'm Back. And those lyrics, some of the lyrics in that song says, you'd rather make 100 and say I'm the boss than make $1 million and say we pulled it off. One more time. You'd rather make 100 and say I'm the boss than make $1 million and say we pulled it off. So what I'm saying with that is, some of us rap bosses, rap music bosses, we indie, you know, we struggling, we out here, but we putting in that work still. But, you know, we just so self-centered and don't want another brain around. We don't want somebody around that's as smart as us, smarter than us, or might not be as bright as us, but we're still outgoing, very intelligent. We have to put our brains together. We have to work together. Steve Jobs, who started Apple, he said, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I like to have people, everybody around me, smarter than me, you know? So it's almost like how you produce, you know? Let's start working together and set aside our differences. But let me get back to what I was saying. Now, I live in the Antelope Valley, right? The Palmdale, Lancaster, Lake Los Angeles area. And there are numerous 25, 50 or more indie rap bosses out here. And in any city, in your city, take your city for instance. By indie rap bosses, I mean people who have for years been putting in work. They read books, they learn, they study, they watch YouTube videos, they invest their own money. They produce, they perfect their craft, and they put other people on, they're helping other people out. People like myself and others who have done this, but have yet to see, I could say success, but let me say a number, so because success, you know, could be, you know, what anybody interpreted it as. But so let's just say we've yet to see $500,000, which in this game is easy to do, if these indie rap bosses like myself and others can set aside our egos and work together. Now, most of us are basically a one-man or one-woman operation. I mean, we got our crew, but we are the CEO. We are the indie rap bosses. So with all that knowledge, experience, hustle, passion, etc., what would happen if two or more of us got together and sat at the table and talked like real bosses do? And plan to start doing some joint ventures. Can we humble ourselves and do that? Can we set aside our egos, and come together for a common goal of being more successful? Can two or more smart, outgoing individuals, rappers over 30, producers, beat makers, CEOs, rap music bosses, independent, that's struggling, that don't put these other people on who not reaching back, we got to do it, you know? Forget the celebs. Forget everything else. Focus on your city and network with the rap music bosses in your city. I'm tired, y'all. Let's get on some more music. God damn it.
Uh-oh. Ha. We back again. West Coast. Full tone plus science. It's like a serious infection taking over. So when I spit it, teeth niggas will feel it like a flamethrower. The game's flooded to an arc like Noah. Then I settle on the hill so I can keep lookout. Like a venom in bloodstreams, I gradually cause panic. It's damn near mere tragedy, havoc. I spread upon thee, the fanatic. It's lights out with my style, you don't see what I do. A kid with a kid, I get beats that knock. Catch me on the block one time as high. Cause these niggas lookin' shots, I just blow my weed. Bang beat in this whip and let this bitch blow me. I philosophize like Socrates. Got the place bouncing like bass between the knees. Yeah, then shoot for three. In my case, four. So for so high.
We got that shit that it packs you up so seat. So turn it up a little, because we rag on the trees.
What we gon' do? Hit up in the face like that.
About to
hit up in the face like that.
It don't stop.
Hit up in the face like that.
It's time for
hit up in the face like that.
I hit a shroom and get bigger like Mario and Luigi. You probably don't wanna see me. I'm sorry, you're just a weenie. Cause Bobby likes to play with Atari and watch his TV and thinks that he's a Houdini. I'll squash him like little Kiwi. Now watch how they seem to get to itching and panicking. Once the missile's in position, leaving stiff as a mannequin, yep. They call him Tack from Styles, the Godzilla, then cop the big old squat and dropped his vows. And I wouldn't do what's considered obnoxious, pal, cause I have your carcass delivered to the crocodiles. While they swim in the swamps and roast you over the stove, they tend to rip you apart until they choke on the bone. Dang, whoop, there goes the game, the most insane, yeah, the whole shebang, we gave them a smash and now they falling below. Put a flame to your ass, and since they all wanna know, I tell them.
We got that shit that it packs you up so seen. So turn it up a little, cause we rag on the trees.
What we gon' do? face like that.
We bounce to
hit them in the face like that.
It don't stop.
Hit them in the face like that.
It's time for
hit them in the face like that.
Hey yo, I sanctified a notepad with blood from a cold hand. That's the reason why I rhyme like no man. Without no keys, this is still a motif. Illuminated lyrics, dope rhymes over dope beats. My ears back engineer the sound they hear. Someone ask you if I get busy, just say yeah. The strong do what they want, the weak do what they must. I don't give up, they bleed just like us. Knock you out your seat, tie you up. Metronome man is going to line you up. These clippers, laser beam lyrics for any MC in the presence. But I just wanna wet my feet with these bitches. If hip hop died, the body is energized, then revived beneath the surface of the petrified rhymes. Create clones from bones in the taxidermy department. The side effect is called autistic conflict.
We got that shit that knocks you out your seat. So turn it up a little bit, cause we ran over the
trees. What we gon' do? Hit them in the face like that.
We bounce to
hit them in the face like that.
It don't stop.
Hit them in the face like that.
It's time to
hit them in the face like that.
Yes, yes, y'all. I'm Imp the Great, and you're tuned into the Rappers Over 30 podcast. And that was Hit 'Em by 4Zone, featuring Tap from Styles of Beyond and Cannabis. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all, if I was a little angry last time, but I was just putting it in the air, man. I'm just putting it in the air so that all my fellow indie rap bosses worldwide can put aside their differences and put our brains together and formulate a game-winning strategy. If you see another boss putting in work, don't hate, congratulate. And network to win. Start communicating on a regular basis. Stop backbiting. No snaking. And definitely no Willie Lynch syndrome bullshit allowed. We trying to win. If you got that bullshit in you, shake that shit off. Don't come in here with that shit. Today's guest was influenced by the 1990s rap group Funky Style Pros. He's worked with the likes of DJ Ja Blues, Styles of Beyond, Cannabis. He's a member of the rap group The Walk-Ons. He's had music placements on Power, Entertainment Tonight, and other shows. Without any further delay, please enjoy my conversation with 4Zone. Make some noise. Happy Thursday. Today we got my man, we got Big 4Zone in the house, MC.
4Zone.
Yeah, MC 4Zone is in the house. He gonna let y'all know a little bit about what he got going on. We're going to get comfortable. I'm a little nervous right now. I think I had too much coffee. So we're going to balance this shit out. Want to say shout out to everybody who's been listening, especially over there in India. I know we got a lot of fans in India. So shout out to India. Some of y'all who can speak English or with a translator, get at me. I like to interview some of y'all over there in India. But right now, we got Big 4Zone. 4Zone, introduce yourself to the world, brother.
What up, y'all? What up? It's 4Zone from the 818 all day. I've been rhyming for years, man. Since, let's see, I graduated in 93. As soon as I graduated, I got serious with this hip hop. So, you know, I'm still stacking beats as we speak, just to like have a little arsenal in case I gotta blow some flames on some heads real quick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So 4Zone, with your style, who's your influences? Like, any artists have influenced you, East Coast, West Coast, Dirty South, or where they from, you know?
I mean, I was pretty much inspired by everybody, man, because everybody has something I liked. You know, the East Coast has something I like, South has something I liked. So, you know, my styles is like that. That's how I grew my style, you know, got my style straight. And I got to say, from the West Coast, a big influence, Funky Town Pros. Ooh. Once I heard that,
I'm going to have to look them up. Damn, you threw one on me.
Funky Town Pros, they from L.A.
F-
Funky Town. I'm looking them up as soon as we get off here. Funky Town Pros, y'all. We're going to have to look them up. Look them up. Funky Town Pros. So that's your influence. What part of L.A. they from? Do you know, or you just know they from L.A.?
No, I don't know what part of L.A. they from.
Have you ever had the pleasure to meet them?
I met one of the members, knew two of them.
Okay.
And that's kind of like Def Jeff's little clique back in the day.
Okay. Now I know personally Def Jeff, and and I remember that, what was his brother? It's the Soul Brothers, his dancers. Shout out to Def Jeff, Soul Brother number one. So okay, so you got the Funky Town Pros. Now when you rap,
and then, you know, I was always on some EPMD, Rakim, Kool G.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my growing up, what I was on.
With EPMD, any other artists in particular, which one? Was it Eric or Parrish? Which one you was digging the most?
I'm going to say Eric.
Okay. I saw them perform. I actually met them when they was big. I was telling my girl today, I said, I met them. Them was some kind of big brothers. I didn't know they was that big. But when I did a show, I was in a contest. I actually won that contest, one of the few that I've actually won. But I won that rap contest, and Eric and Paris was performing. And I always liked Eric better. But live, it was Paris. I was like, whoa. I said, I like this guy, but live, Paris is killing this shit. You know, so that's dope.
That's how it always
man.
Goes. That's
yeah,
how it
you
always
know?
Goes.
Yeah, that was dope. So has anybody ever told you you sound like someone in particular? Have you ever got, I know over the years, if you've been doing this a while, like me, you've probably been, somebody might have said you sound like this person, sound like that one. But can you give me a couple of people? So if somebody ain't never heard you, they can get an idea of, say, well, they say you sound like this. So who has people said you sound like?
Style-wise, are you speaking style-wise?
Style, timber, whatever. Just whatever. If they said, hey, you remind me of him or you sound like him.
For style-wise, I'm a rapper that goes everywhere, so I don't really have no, like, certain area. I'm going to just ride this tone. And so, you know, I could go slow, speed it up slow, mellow, it is, you know, all in one verse. So I'm one of those, I don't know what you call them, but then everywhere rappers, but it's gonna make you sense in the tone of my voice when I rap is aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gonna give it a little extra oomph.
And what about subject matter? Where you got, you're political, you battle, you got the little love song for the ladies, you know, you lyrical. What
I got all that, man. All that.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Versatile.
All that.
Versatile. Versatile. Most versatile MC. All right.
You know, and on top of that, my beatboxing, I've been doing that for years.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty, I was a beatboxer first.
Uh-huh. And who influenced you to do the beatboxing?
I was just a beatboxer.
Who influenced? Was it Dougie?
Knee spinner on Langdon.
Dougie Fresh. What's the big boy name from Fat Boys? Fat Boys, Dougie Fresh.
Buffy.
Buffy, yeah, from Fat Boys.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that's where I kind of got in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of just over the years just kept bringing opportunities. When I started getting serious with rhyming in like 93. Out of high school.
Were you in a clique or solo?
I was solo.
Uh-huh. And where were you at? Were you L.A.? You said 818. That's the Valley. So where were you at in the Valley?
All right. So after high school, you know, I kind of chilled for a few minutes. I went back to the Valley. And I started doing music with my boy Ja Blues. Dark Fader, and I actually moved in with him, and we was just making songs, like tapes, cassettes, and then we started getting serious, so we put out the first little mixtape called Fat Az, Phataz. And we was just pushing that out in the Valley. And, you know, then we started doing shows and shit. You know, before that, we was throwing parties. Then we got got to this hip hop, and then we started throwing parties and having our own shows. Shortly thereafter, we linked up with my boy from Styles of Beyond, Todd Beard. And Todd was dope. Todd was like a dope. He was a dope MC. So me and him rocked in a group for a summer. Seems like it was just a summer.
You say was. Yeah. Is he still here, or did he pass, or what?
No, he's still here. He overseas.
He hung his mic up.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we rocked for like a year. And then he left, started wanting to do his own thing, and then that Styles Beyond and whatever. That's history. And then I ended up, me and Alec was just making music, you know, and one of my other little homies popped up, Opto, little white boy, but had skills on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing our thing. OUS, Organized Universal Styles. And so we made tons of joints, classics at the time. Probably still classics, but so he did his thing later on. After we kind of did our little thing together. And then all of a sudden I had to move. I ended up moving back up to Palmdale. And started getting, had to work, get a job, all that. But
yeah, how long have you been up here in the AV? When you say you moved back here, so were you here originally up in AV?
No, I'm from the Valley. I moved up here in 89, 90.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the Valley up until then. That was pretty much junior high school.
Yeah, I didn't know
off and on. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so off and on, you know, I would just move to the Valley. And then, you know, I got grown, moved back to the Valley. I lived out there, moved to Santa Clarita, and eventually came back here. So off and on, but I've been out here a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know that the AV has such a rich hip hop history. I didn't know that Muffler, you know, Muffler, he produced LL Cool J's I'm Bad album, and he did a lot of other stuff, but that's his biggest thing. But he was up here early throwing parties and put his crew together, you know, that would end up going on to work on LL Cool J's album. And Muffly's still up here, and I met him, and you know, if I would have knew who he was, I'm always respectful and everything. You know me, you know how I get down. But man, I probably would have got on my knees and bowed to that dude if I knew who the hell he really was, you know. But I kept looking. I'm telling you, man, I love hip hop, man. I love the legends. I love to hear their stories. So I was looking on the internet at him telling a lot of stories about, you know, some of the early stuff they was doing in the AV. And I'm like, if it was up to me, all I knew was Afro Man, you know, until I moved up here, and everything else was after Afro Man. But this dude, not only that, I mean, we talking about the 80s, like wow, this dude is a legend, man, you know. Okay, so now this is a good question. Do you got any of that old material that you and Ja Blues did, you know, some of your early stuff? Would you be fortunate enough to have an old cassette or something?
I do.
That's good. Have you translated it to a digital format?
I haven't.
Oh, that's what you got to do, brother, because you don't.
I got them.
Yeah, when you get a chance, transfer that to a digital format, because if you ever lose it, you're gonna wish you had it, because I had recording from way back. And man, if I could have them things today, man, I Lord knows how much money I would pay to just get those things back, you know.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Mm-hmm.
I still got my box of tapes. Mm-hmm. That's all I used to roll, sitting in front of the cassette deck.
Did you have one where you could rap? They used to have a radio where you plug the mic in. You ever had one of those? The big boom box?
Yeah, I had one of those.
That was the shit, huh? T-Sonic, I think it was T-Sonic, something Sonic. That was a bad little radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I had that. And I had some other little shit I would fuck with, but
So when did you guys take your show on the road? Because I know you to be a touring MC and to go out and do shows and shit. So when did you first hit the road and what was some of your early road experience?
Well, I'm going to start from the beginning. It was the old show Unity. And Styles of Beyond was performing that night. My boy Dada told me, like, man, they perform, you better go up there. You said you know him. I'm like, I do know him. Shelby, you know. Try to test me. So I'm like,
you got his voice down too. Yeah. You got Dada's voice down. Yeah.
Been around him too long.
He tried to call your bluff.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. I go up there. I see him. Todd got his cousin hyping him, but he was whack. And I was like, man, after the show, I was like, what's up, man? You need a real hype, man. You know, and prior to that now, you know, I've been an MC way before that, but if I can get a chance to be on the road and play my part, are you just a hype man? All right, I'll just hype. Let's go. So I really kind of put my little, you know, music and shit to the side and just became a hype man for a few years.
For Styles of Beyond.
With Styles of Beyond, correct. And so once they got their deal from the 2000 Fold album, they got a deal with, I forgot their names, but they used to do the Pokemon soundtracks. But anyway, they got the deal and they started to go on tour and the company was like, we want to contract you to just go with them. You the hype man. I was like, yeah, shit. I'll just go out there and just hype, do what I do and absorb the road. And so that was what month was that? That was around July. And we were opening up for the group Lynn. You remember that Still My Sunshine?
What was it again?
Lynn.
Glenn?
It was like a pop group. Yeah, L-E-N.
L-E-N. Lynn. Okay, I don't remember.
Still My Sunshine. You remember that?
I don't remember.
They were big, man. They had they were like the kids poppy, whatever. And I always thought it was weird because they had kids at their shows, but we come out like, what the fuck is up? Yo, we about to kill this shit. Like, we didn't know, like, they had really kids at their shows. We had a show that we had to do. So it was always a trip, like, seeing kids with their daughter on their shoulders and they're rocking to Lynn, a little bubblegum wannabe rap. And then we get out there like, shit, put your hands in the mother, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man.
It was bothering you.
Yeah, we should have thought about this. Styles of Beyond, man. That was the first group that took me on the road with them, man. And so much stuff happened after that. So much exposure I had. I ended up doing that with Styles. But before that, I did a, before I left, I did a interview with Reagan Magazine. I don't know if they're still around, about beatboxing. So I had a big ass spread, like 2 pages, of just mouth. Like, damn, y'all could have, this thing, y'all just put my mouth. And so that while that was going on, we was on the road. So when it dropped, when I found out it dropped, we were in Denver. So I was like, let me go to the CD, little bookstore, whatever. And I was like, damn, that shit is dope. Like, I bought 3 copies, like, huh? But just saying that a lot of stuff happened after that when I was on the road. Now, my manager at the time, Evan Bogart, got a call from the same label that Styles was on. And when they seen that, they seen the commercial I did too for Entertainment Tonight. So they was like, okay, this guy could be a star. I'm like, all right, whatever, let's have this meeting. The meeting went well, everything was fine, and then they get dropped from their distribution. So I'm like, damn, this close.
Yeah, how'd you get connected with a manager? How did that go down?
Just being around Styles. Since I was the hype man and shit, it just happened like that because their manager was my manager.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. Yeah, their manager was my manager. And it was all actually like bat management. And it was my boy 427. Him and Evan had their own little company. And so that's what we were on. So that's why I was able to get even close to him. I was like, hey, you know, and he heard a record I dropped. I'm going too fast. Yeah, that's how I got my manager through Styles, pretty much.
Okay, Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, we're here with 4Zone, and he giving y'all a bit of history in his hip-hop career here. So you did the touring with Styles of Beyond. You got introduced to the rap game. What was the group again you had told me with the influence in the beginning from L.A.?
Funky Town Pros.
I got to write this down because I don't want to forget this. Funky Town Pros. So you guys look that up. So Funky Town Pros. So you got that influence. And then around 93, you really start pushing your MCing. And then you got on with Styles of Beyond. And then how long did that go down and what followed after that?
Well, 93 was the year I graduated, but that Funky Town Pros didn't come out till 95, maybe 96. And then what was your question?
I was saying what happened after the Styles of Beyond? So you went on the road with those guys and then.
Yeah. So,
after
they did their thing, I was able to get on their second album, just the album joint. And I didn't tour with them on that. I just did the song called Fuck You, Pay Me. And so I did that. They were still doing their thing. We was cool, but I wasn't trying to tour. I was already working on my first album, but I just dropped that for them. But it was dope. That song kind of got me on TV, radio. I mean, like little commercials on the radio, TV shows. So that song did a lot for me as far as that's concerned. And we that like got me on some other stuff. So I started working with, from my first album called My Turn. We almost had a deal with Blackberry Records. You remember Matt?
I remember
Matt. You ever know Matt?
Matt from you said Blackberry Records?
Yeah.
I'm not
Matt
sure.
Matt Therrell.
The name sounds familiar.
Say that again.
I said the name, you said Matt. Matt Therrell?
Yeah.
Steve, I knew a guy named Steve. Steve Thoreau, I think. I don't think it was Matt. Okay.
But
so he was going to sign you for your album, My Turn.
Yeah, and then his distribution. See how it was. How it was set up was Styles' album was getting dropped first. Then a group named Lexicon was the next album to drop, and then I was like the third, the last anchor. Since their albums didn't all pan out like they expected, the distribution got dropped right before like I was supposed to be the next one. I was able to get a 12-inch out through them though, which was large.
So you still pushing? You got your music. The album deal didn't go down. When did Doc?
The album came out. We had to just do it ourselves.
We issued producer, you, and you had features on it.
Only features Dada, Interrogator, and that's it.
Did y'all Blue?
Oh no, I got Styles on there. Styles of Beyond is on there too.
Did Ja Blue produce that?
No, I had a handful of producers on that one. Vin Scully, Plus Science. Who else was on there? Nearest. So I had a few different producers. Oliver Twist.
You know, some of the stuff we talk about on here, we got some ongoing topics. And those are, you know, diet, health, and exercise, the music business, Killing Willie Lynch Syndrome in the Black community, and staying relevant. So let's talk about staying relevant. What do you think a rapper over 30 needs to do to stay relevant in regards to a lot of things, in regards to their business, in regards to their fashion statement, their style, in regards to their health, in regards to the music? What do you think rappers over 30, because this whole thing is I want to one day, instead of people saying, oh, you too old to be rapping, I want to say, man, that dude's 60 and killing everybody. You know, so I want that to happen. So how can rappers over 30 remain relevant? What do you think rappers over 30 need to do to remain relevant?
Well, just stay open-minded. I mean, you know, we all grew up listening to this hip hop and we're hearing these new dudes. Sometimes you just got to keep your ears peeled and just listen to it. You know what I mean? Also matters with the individual. Like if you just one minded, I'm doing this and I'm going to do this forever. You know, that's not going to work. And if that's the reason why, like it has to be a certain type of individual that like has these keen senses, you know, to stay reveling with this music. So, you know, some rappers can do everything these dudes is doing. I think that it depends on the individual, like how far do you want to go? Like sometimes you got to play out the box just to stay relevant, you know, make sure you're stable. You know, a lot of us ain't never really had like not to go to work. We've worked through our careers. Well, I have shit. So, you know, just having that backbone and being stable where I could still adventure off and do my music without sacrificing anything. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one?
Well, let's stick with this one for a minute. What about the pressure of, let me give you an example, the pressure of what your peers or your family or your fans might think. When I did, I got a song called The Realness, and I did that song with Rifleman and Freddie Fred produced that. That was on my Evolution of a Man album. But I did, in 1998, I did a song with a brother from the South named Pimp Capone. And when I played it, a lot of the people from the Project Blowed and, you know, just the people heard it and they was like, man, what are you doing? What are you rapping with that country nigga for and da da da. So I faced a lot of stuff. So sometimes when you're trying to stay relevant or you step outside the box, then that's a pressure, you know? So some people might not want to do it. Like I've heard some old school cats say, man, I ain't rapping over no trap beats. So what do you think about that element of it where they're pressured, where a rap over 30 might be peer pressured or just might be just like you said, one-minded, where he'd be like, oh, all I'm rapping over is boom bap.
I mean, then that's on you. You shutting yourself off. You cutting yourself off. You know, ain't nothing wrong with no trap beat. You know, if you look at all the transcenders we had back in the day. You know, we had the righteous rap. That was going on for a minute. then, you know, took another left. And then as soon as, like, you know, you was hearing that one type and then you hear the Fugees, just changed everything. Because they was doing different shit. They wasn't staying one line, one lane. So as far as the pressure, I mean, you put pressure on yourself. If you feel like you can't do it, then you might feel pressure. But if you're capable of doing it, it's no pressure at all.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, that's a big thing, man. You know, I've been around a long time in this game, and I've always tried to, you know, look at what's happening. And then also, as far as being innovative, I think a lot of rappers over 30 need to step outside the box and try to just be innovative. You don't got to copy what's going on. You know, if you do, shit, put your twist on it. But also,
yeah, try to be twist on it.
Yeah, try to be innovative. Don't be scared to step outside the box. I got something. I'm going to tell you the truth. I got something, and I might have let a very few people hear it, but I'm actually scared to do it because I don't want to, not that I'm scared of the peer pressure with fans or anybody going to say, I'm just scared that I'm not in a position to really get it out there like I want to, because I think if I put it out there, the industry is going to steal it, you know? So any, I think any rapper over 30 or people, rappers that played but never got paid, done had stuff lifted or, you know, bits and pieces stolen from them. So this is a, it's just something just so different that I really don't want to do it. I just said, this is one style and one record. I'm not going to do this unless I, you know, get to a certain level in the game where I know when I put that out there, it's clear. That's his shit. He came with that shit. Cause if not, you know, I know you probably had stuff lifted or I've seen it for many years. Yeah. I've seen stuff. I'm like, I done that 5 years ago. So-and-so done that, you know, 6 years ago. And then they come out with it and people think, oh, they originated. And then when they hear you, they think they fuck around, think you stealing
you
the bike.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's a cold game, you know, but yeah, so like I say, that's one of the things. The other thing is the business. What can you share with the business? What have you learned with the business? How is your business now? What are you doing from a business perspective with the game now?
Business is slow.
It is for all of us with this COVID, bro.
Yeah, business is slow right now. But I can say that, you know, as far as your paperwork, get a professional to read it if you can. Mm-hmm. Don't just jot your name, you know. I've never been in that situation. Well, once. That's another story. But always stay up on your paperwork and get it thoroughly read. And as far as business is slow now. But I've been pretty good on mines over the years. Like, I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. How are you getting your music distributed? Are you going through like CD Baby, DistroKid, or one of the digital distributors?
Yeah, DistroKid right now.
Uh-huh.
I haven't released nothing yet. I got one coming up sometime this year. Just some music that I've been just sitting on that just need to come out. Because, you know, I'm not going to worry about how good it sounds now.
I'm the same way. I've been doing that on you.
You're going to take this mix, motherfucker, and turn it up if you have to turn it up louder. Mm-hmm. So it's called Schlitz and Switchblades.
Schlitz, and like gonna the drink? Be, the old beer?
Yeah, Schlitz and Switchblades.
Schlitz and Switchblades. I remember, what's the name? Dada had something with the Kung Fu shoes or something. Well, let's talk about Dada since we on that. How'd you meet him and you guys end up being a group? And I remember y'all performed at AVGB's, I believe, one time. So give me some history about you and Dada, the interrogator.
Well, I met Dada. I knew his cousin. I met his cousin first. How did I meet Larry? I met his cousin first. So my boy, my old homeboy, Brown, used to always tell them, I know this beatboxer, he could beatbox. You know, and Dada, I knew him first. So I really met Dada through one of my other homies. So once we clicked up, you know, we kind of freestyled in the room. Like, niggas was filling me out. It was Blade slashing, like trying to see, okay, okay, you know, bar wars type shit. And after that, we just been kicking. We kicked it ever since. And I think he said he thought I was like a gang banging, because he used to say, man, I used to see you in that Regal and be like, man, crazy. But then he said when he, you know, met me and he like heard some of my music, because I didn't look like how I rapped. You know what I mean? Like, I look like I should be on some, you know, some gangster shit. But when Dada seen, like, okay, I look gangster, I guess. But then when he heard me rap, it was like, damn, you do not look like you rap like that. I was gonna take you for a slouch. And we've been friends ever since, man. We've been in a couple of groups. We in a group right now called the Walk-Ons. Well, me, Big F, and Dada, Interrogator. And we got tons of music together. He was my hype man for a while. He was the only dude who like he's so like hip hop that he was the only dude that knew all my bars. So I was like, man, you gotta be my hype man, dude. So ever since then, we just been kicking it, doing music. I done brung him with me everywhere. That's my boy right there. I kind of helped him with this. He would do some little, help me with some of my bars. I would recommend some shit for him. And it was all love. Like, no kind of like, you hating. Nah, man, I want you to be dope. Listen. And he was like, and he absorbed it. Like, and now he like slashing pages with swords.
Mm-hmm. What's some of your most memorable shows, whether it was with Dada, Styles of Beyond, or just a solo? What are some of your most memorable shows and why?
I say for my biggest show was opening up for Lupe Fiasco at the Rest in Peace Key Club in Hollywood. You know, I was messing with Sean Healy at the time. That's when you like got to sell tickets.
I already knew. When you said Key Club, I already knew. Sean Healy.
Yep.
Yeah, I done some Sean Healy shows.
Man, I used to go on a, like, I had a run with them, a cold run. But I opened up for a lot of my favorite artists messing with them too. So that was pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that whole night, it was like, Mike Stroh, he was performing with DJ Battlecat. It was a couple of other, you know, local bands or whatever. So doors open at 9:30 and the first band comes on. And everybody coming in, filling in to the stage while the first band is rocking. Which I think is like, I would never do that slot. Like, yeah, just not opening up the doors. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got away with it. The first band, they didn't get the wrath of what was going to happen in the next couple of hours. So the show starts after the band. Another artist came out. The host came out, said some shit, you know, got the crowd hype. And the next band come on. And the crowd just instantly, Lupe, 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 Lupe. You know, they going off like, kind of like booing them. Like, we don't want to see these motherfuckers. What is this? You know, and that's the one thing about Sean Healy. They didn't cater their shows to the main act. They would let anybody, if they could book a magician and put him in front of fucking Pharoah Monch, that's going to be the show that night. So they never tailored their shows to the main act. So it was groups like, why are you performing here, man? Like, this is a hip hop show. So they didn't really do that well, but that's why me saying the next group got booed, Lupe, Lupe, because that's a backpacker crowd. They don't want to hear this. So the next group come on. I think his name was Sean Shiro, white boy, had two dancers with him. I'll never forget. And I knew that was going to be a wrong thing because two dancers at a hip hop show with backpackers. All right. So he started rapping. The crowd starts it up again. Lupe, 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 Lupe. Now, at this time, everybody's, you know, paging me, texting me, calling me, talking about, man, I'm nervous, man. The crowd is, you know, tough. And I was like, man, I'm, you know, I thought I was right next to me. And I'm like, man, I'm ready. And like, this is L.A. I don't know what the fuck they kind of put on this lineup, but I got the shit that's kind of equal to Lupe or some underground hip hop shit. So I come out. Me and Dada came out, did the intro. I think the intro was what caught them where they couldn't like say nothing. And then once they got in, it was all good. The intro was, I did that, that Jay Dilla, one of his little intro beats. And you couldn't like boo that. Like, dude, y'all might start fighting each other. But I think when they heard that, they was like, okay, whew, some hip hop. Mm-hmm. And we continued on, rocked the show, didn't get booed, got hand claps, applauses, like, yeah, finally, the show's starting. And that was that, man. Like, and that was a packed house. It was close. It was sold out. And go outside. Black Mike Stroh and Battle Cat are the next performers. They get booed off. Now, I don't know. Mike Stroh's supposed to be some. Is he a dope MC? You heard of him, Mike Stroh?
I've been hearing of him recently, basically through Ja Blues. I think he's on the Ja Blues new mixtape.
No, it's not that. It's not that dude. He's from L.A.
I don't know.
But Battle Cat, you know Battle Cat, the DJ.
Yeah, I know Battle Cat.
Yeah, they get booed. And then he kind of got mad and walked up to the mic and was like, yo, y'all know who this is? This is Battle Cat. They were still booing. I was like, damn.
You have to know your audience. I found that out the hard way. And my stuff has always been, you know, street, more street, underground. And I'm well-rounded, you know? And I did a show one time at the airliner with Freestyle Fellowship. And the crowd was looking at me like, who the fuck is he? And Mike Anam came up on the stage and said, excuse me, Imperator, because Mike is real, you know, he's real intelligent and he's always been very respectful. And he said, excuse me, Imperator, you know, he asked me to give him the mic. And he went off on the crowd. He's like, do you know who this is? And I appreciate what he done. But what I learned from that was you cannot rap in front of any crowd. Just like you saying, if they was booking certain acts, but the headline is an underground, you know, Lupe Fiasco or whatever, then those other acts should be kind of similar. And that goes back to what I asked you earlier, like who has people kind of say you remind them of, you know? So I learned that the hard way, you know, not only from that show, but it took me several times to you just can't jump on any show. Well, who's on this show? What's going down? You know, so you got it. That's just my personal preference. You know, somebody might can say, well, I can go rock any crowd. If you got enough, a wide catalog and you think you can do that. But, you know, my selection, definitely what I picked to go up there and rap at that airline, it wasn't working. They didn't boo me, but they was totally disrespectful.
Man, you have to be able to, you know, gauge the audience before you even see the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go off of, okay, who else is performing? You know, okay, this is the headliner. It's Kool Jack and the three MCs. Okay, it's going to be kind of like this kind of show. But you don't know. You don't see the people. So mm-hmm. You got to kind of think ahead and see, you know, what kind of lineup you're going to run. The other thing is, to get back to that Lupe, the next week we had a show, it was Crickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went from sold out to Crickets.
What venue was that?
It was the Pig in the Blanket on Hollywood.
Yeah, in Hollywood. So that wasn't too far from where you did your last show. So part of that probably was, you know, your audience who came to see you the first time, they probably wasn't ready to come right back and see you a week later. You know, that could be the thing. I remember Sean Healy had that in his contract. If you perform here, he didn't want you to perform at least 4 weeks before you perform in there.
Right. I remember.
Been so many miles. Yeah, I did a few Sean Healy thing. Let me give you another question, then we're going to get back to some of our ongoing topics. We already went through one, and we went through relevance. But before I get to that, let me ask you this. If you had a choice to pick one female and one male in any genre, it don't have to be rap, to do a feature with, who would it be? One female and one male. If it could be, a group or it could be a solo artist. So if you had a choice, and it don't have to be rap, it could be R&B, rock.
No, I got you. Female wise,
I'm gonna write. I was gonna write.
I like Davina. Davina was pretty dope back in the day. Mm-hmm. You don't hear too much from her anymore, but she had that kind of neo soul / hip hop R&B, and she was from LA, so I loved her even more. Male wise, any genre, anything. Shit. You know, I would want like some kind of musician, you know, not even a vocalist, just like a saxophonist or a, you know, trumpet or something like that, to where I can just kind of beatbox around it. Like, that's some shit I'd be thinking of. Mm-hmm. So I think for the male, it had to be anybody that plays an instrument. Probably like, what's his name? Whittenfield? What is it? Whittenfield?
Wynton Marcellus?
Marcellus, yeah. Something like that.
Wow, that's unique. That was a good one there. You took your time to think about that too. That's dope, man. And I, you know, sometimes I ask these things. I never know what can happen. So I like to ask questions because something might can happen when they like off on my hand. Oh, that's song. He said he want to do a song with Wynton Marcellus. Here he is. You know, so you never know what can happen. Wynton might tune in. Wynton, if you're listening, Big Four Zone is on rappersover30.com and he'd like to do a feature with you, brother. Touch bases. All right. Okay.
And I've done that before. Like, I did a song with Alan Holdsworth, which is a British guitarist, but he's very respected amongst guitarists in the community. And he's a jazz artist. And he played he was a guitarist. So I just kind of, they had a little dummy beat. It was kind of just like a moneymaker. Like, I didn't really know what it was. It was just like, come get this $100. I was like, okay, let me just go over here. They got their own words. Cool. Looked at some of their words, doctor it up a little. And, you know, I was on a song with a guitarist. out the blue.
It was a performance or a song?
Just a song.
You got a copy of that one?
It's online.
Okay, well, we're going to get, what I do is I'll get your a lot of your information and put it in the show notes for this. So, well, we got another thing called health, and I'm going to tell you what we kind of talk about with that, and then I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if you talk about some of your job-related stuff. If that's a problem, we don't have to go there. But with the health thing, we talk about the diet, the health, and exercise of artists because, number one, I personally have a lot of friends that suffer from, you know, I have a couple of ailments myself, but from diabetes, heart disease, you know, different things. You get older and different shit happen, you know. So one thing I push to the rappers over 30 is, you know, just like we talk about staying relevant, try to consider some of these things what we're talking about to stay relevant. What we talk about business. You gave some great advice when you said, you know, read the contract, get somebody professional to read it, when we came to the conclusion of, you know, look at the lineup, who's on the show before you go through the show. So with health, with diet, fitness, and exercise, what are you doing in those aspects? Are you doing anything diet-wise? Are you vegan? Are you doing? If not, it's not a problem. If not, then we want you to start picking up on some of those things. So that's what we want to do. We want to talk about these things because I want to see everybody in 40 years, you know, in 50 years. You know, I want to see us and I want to see us still going because I'm not going to let you stop rapping. If you around me and I know you and you dope, I'm going to say something to keep you motivated. So with the diet, health, and exercise, what are you doing in those elements? What is your diet like? Do you do any exercise?
I mean, I don't do a lot of exercises because I work a lot too. You know, I know that ain't an excuse, but that does take up 13 hours of my day. You know, I try to have a balanced diet. You know, I don't get my greens in. I drink the super greens. And beets, mix it with water, take that every day. I do have blood pressure, but it's in control right now. I hate to take them, but I have to take them. But it's very much in control. I just went to get tested for COVID last Wednesday. And that's when I found out my blood pressure was very good. And I don't have the COVID.
Well, that's a blood.
But, you know, I always advise, you know, do something. You know what I'm saying? I was always born a big dude. I'm 6'6", 3+. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big dude. So, you know, it's always been a task trying to get your weight low. But, you know, sometimes they don't teach you in school. Like, they tell you milk does a body good. Man, that's cow spit. Like, you was born off your mama's milk. You know what I mean? How you go from titty milk to cow milk? Like, you know, so we didn't really get all the information growing up, like, put emphasis on how healthy you need to try to be. Because sometimes, you know, you could be partying in a club because you a youngster. Bam, here comes 40. You start feeling little funny little shit you ain't never felt before. And, you know, you just got to be mindful of what you eat as much as you can. It's tough. You know, you can go get a dollar hamburger, but it costs $4 for a salad. Like, I'm gonna get the hamburger. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's just how it is right now with the climate. It's hard to get out and do too much exercising. But what was the other question, Mr.?
I was asking if you mind if we touch on some of your line of work. If it's okay. I didn't want to go into it.
I could speak on it. I just can't say too much.
Well, I'm just talking about the disease, if that's what is concerned. Not specifically what internal in your place of business, but just the disease itself. Is it okay if we talk about that? And
yeah,
I'm not
fine.
Sure. I want to be sure I'm sure what it was. It's is it autism?
Correct.
Okay, autism. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to talk about it because I didn't find out about that until maybe 15 years ago, probably less than that, when I met a friend and his two kids had it. And then I met another friend and both of them happened to be rappers and his daughter had it. So one of them, and I was thinking the other day, I said, man, these kids are probably 20 years old now, you know? So, you know, since we talk about diet, health, and exercise, that's another thing, you know, that we got kids. Me personally, I got grandkids. So since you know, you're definitely more a specialist on me, can you talk a little bit about what autism is and anything you want to educate the public on about it?
I mean, just don't look at us funny in the community, you know, but real spit. I really didn't know what autism was until I started working at the school. What I learned was autism is pretty much how we compartmentalize everything in our head and our brain from the stuff we, you know, from hand functions to your legs, your feet. Everything is, we know which department to use to make that move. Autism is, everything is just in there. Like, everything is just in there, not compartmentalized, just floating around. So it pretty much affects kids and adults. My first interaction was working at a school out in the valley. And I was kind of like familiar because I used to have a little cousin that had cerebral palsy. So I used to just help with her ankles. So I had some kind of knowledge of special needs. So I worked at the, actually I had just got off tour and I knew I needed to have, get a job, and I ended up getting the job at that school through my aunt. So, you know, it's crazy because there was one student who shall remain nameless, could tell you every airplane coming into LAX, the whole schedule for the whole day. And know it without even reading, just, he just knows it. I know he like, he first read it, but he like memorized it like that, but he can't tie his shoe. You know what I mean? So, and there's kids that I've seen that, you know, are very, very smart, but they lack hand skills, verbal skills. They can communicate, you know, through devices. But they all are very smart. And, you know, it takes a lot of patience to be in that field because a lot of times you ain't going to get the results you want, you know, when you're trying to teach them certain things. Sometimes they pick it up quick. Sometimes it takes a few years, but you got to stay persistent because it's all there. They just have to tap into it and start using it. You know what I mean?
All right, y'all. Rappers Over 30 podcast. Big Four Zone in the house. We talked on some of our ongoing topics. We're going to brighten things up a bit right now. I'm gonna throw some hard fun questions at him right now. I'm going to give you a name. And you familiar with the Versus Battles?
Yeah, the Versus Battles, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a name, and you give me somebody who you like to see go against them. Okay.
Okay. You
Ice Cube.
Ooh.
I'm sorry.
I mean, only the first person that popped in my head when you said that was E-40, but I know that they just did one.
Uh-huh. E-40 and Ice Cube. Oh, that would have been a good. I think that's better than who I had in mind.
Yeah. Who else? I would say, because I'm thinking about that Aaron who was hot. Shit. Maybe Big Daddy Kane. I could give him a run. Yeah, that's about it. I can't really think of nobody for Cube. Cube is tough.
I thought Nas. I just kind of thought they was kind of similar in what they did with their music, and they kind of from the same era. I think Cube is a little bit before Nas, but I think
Who would you think would win out of that?
I would enjoy the thing, man. I wouldn't even look at that as a battle. I just would love it. I would love to see that.
It would just be a show, a dope-ass show.
A dope-ass show. Yeah, dope-ass show. So let me give you another one.
All right.
AC Alone.
My boy.
I should have told you I'd throw some tough questions out.
Hey. AC? No, I got somebody. Man, I got to go back to my boy, Funky Town Pros. Boy Wonder is the shit.
Boy Wonder? I'm going to put a note in. Because I talked to AC, so I'm going to hit him up. Volume 10 was talking to me about, you know, that about, you know, maybe him and AC going at it. And yeah, so he
did think that, but I didn't want to be like, you know, crew to crew.
AC that's what AC said.
That really will work though.
That's what AC said. AC said he don't want the crew to crew. All right, here, I'm gonna give you another underground. Medusa. Hey, yo, rappers over 30 got Frozone up in here moaning, y'all. I'm sticking with these questions, y'all. Rappersover30.com. Medusa, we got to get you on here. AC, we got to get you on here. Volume 10, we got to get you on here. Ice Cube, oh my God, if we get you on here, we blowing up the building.
If I had to say Medusa, now, I'm not thinking of, I guess I have to think like that. I have to do with how Versus does it. They longevity, hits. But I can't do that on this one because there's not a lot of hits. So then I got to keep it in the genre, underground hip hop. So if I had to do that, I would say Medusa and...
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I should have told you.
No, it's good, man. I like thinking. I like these little tap ins.
We play hardball over here, man.
I see.
Yeah.
What's the girl from Bay Area? What's her fucking name?
Queen Nefra?
No.
I had thought Bahamadia, but I'm not, to be honest, I'm not that familiar with her music. I just knew she was, you know, out of New York, I think, or out of that East Coast somewhere.
Are you going off hits?
No, I'm just saying whoever you wanted to roll with, Medusa and whoever. You can't take mine now. I done gave you that one.
No. That's good. Thinking of all the MCs in my head, I just can't come with the name.
You want to marinate with it, want to keep it moving, you come back to that?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to write it down, too.
I told you, I come with the hard ones, man. So, okay, we're going to hit our last topic that we talk about here, and this is one of the most critical ones, and it's killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the Black community. And I want to confess the day that I'm too am guilty of that, you know, sometimes. So I'm not, when I'm talking about killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the Black community, I had a friend check me today, and I want to shout him out. I want to shout out Arcane Blaze. I just interviewed him in my last Thursday podcast. He was on my last one. And we generally talk. We typically get on the phone and talk. And he checked my ass today on some shit, you know, like, you know, and we need to get checked. So I'm not excluded from fucking up and might have a little Willie Lynch syndrome. But the thing is, we have to learn how to address that. And when I say that, what I'm talking about is, some of us have certain characteristics that's not beneficial for the Black community. It's some of it is obviously is levels of it. I think KY said even mentioned it's levels of the shit, small levels, media levels. They got a picture. I put it on my Facebook before, and it got a guy down in a hole and he's saying, help me. He's looking up. And the man on the top is looking down, reaching his hand. He can't reach him, but he's just reaching like he's trying to help. But right behind the man is a long ass ladder. You see what I'm saying? So this is what we talk about is killing Willie Lynch syndrome. And I've talked about a lot of scenarios. And when I talked to Rod today, you know, I don't be angry and he thinks I take stuff personal. I'd be like, nah, just bothers me with some of the shit that we do. A brother called me yesterday and was telling me that, you know, how when he started doing battle rap, that somebody posted, oh, he think this shit gonna get him out of the AV. This shit ain't gonna work for him, you know. And it's like, why even say some shit like that? We supposed to be uplifting each other, you know. Up here in the AV, I just really think that it's a lot of Willie Lynch syndrome going on up here, because if we only knew by supporting each other, working with each other, and uplifting each other, and big upping each other, we could blow the fuck up. But it's always a competition. It's always we can have competition, a friendly competition. somebody make a dope song this time, I'll be like, yeah, 40, you got me. But next time I'm going to get you. You know, I've had situations where I've been taken off of projects because somebody said, oh, man, you killed them on that song. That's why they took you off of it. But I mean, that's a little different than where I'm going at. But Willie Lynch syndrome, that's what I want to talk about. You know, he supposedly, like I say, was a white racist dude brought over to the slave masters and give them all of these rules and shit and say, well, if you do this, it's going to have the black people fucked up for 400, 500, 600 years. And to me, it's like, you know, I just see a lot of shit that we do to harm each other, whether it's violence, whether it's crab in a barrel mentality and different things like that. So this is one of the ongoing topics we have on here. So I want to know, are you familiar with the Willie Lynch syndrome and Willie Lynch letters and stuff like that? Have you heard of that stuff?
I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard of it.
Well, what do you
not
think?
Not too familiar.
Yeah. What do you think about that and the black community? In some cases, you have to say black people because there might not be a black community. You know, it might not be a black community. It's just blacks in the community. So but as far as us, you know, I'm going to tell you something. A difficult thing I had is asking. Sometimes I'll have people come on here and they're not black. And I kind of bite my tongue sometimes about asking them stuff like this. But for instance, Ja Blue came on and was saying how influential the black community was for him. He said because when people turned their back on him and you know, wasn't feeling him or wasn't feeling his movement or whatever he's doing, the black community accepted him. So with that said, you know, I thought about it. I said I should ask these questions because everybody, I think, is responsible to help give something back to the black community, whether they're black or not. You know, so if somebody like that says, well, hey, they was there for me, then maybe I should have pushed the question and said, well, do you spend your money with any black businesses? You know, I'm really seriously trying to push this agenda. And the more of us who get on this page, to me, it can stop violence. A lot of our violence revolves around money and love or what people might think is love, relationship shit. A lot of the violence revolves around that. So we could deal with a lot of it with the money by stop the crab in the barrel mentality, start recycling black dollars, start supporting black businesses, you know, start being more respectful. So when I'm talking about the killing Willie Lynch syndrome, give me something. What can you give me about the black community that you think can help make the black community or black people more in harmony, more successful, more happy?
I think it starts at the top, man, when you know, the older ones. You know, I don't think I'm the older one, but I am up there. But I think it starts with that, you know, and getting it down to the youth. You know, as far as how they're growing up, it's tough, man, because, you know, I'll be watching some little crazy show. They in the South barefooted, running with their babies in their hand, like, we got to affect that. You can't have that going on. But it's tough because, you know, they put us all in little projects and just leave us alone. So, you know, who knows what goes on in there. That's why you have so much crime in those types of areas. So, you know, basically, if you don't get down to that little part of the plan first, you know, keeping a visual going on, you know, to try to lessen the violence. It's tough, though. You know, society is tough right now. This climate is tough right now. And, you know, if we don't start, you know, at least trying to do, like you said, uplift each other, do a little something, you know, to help your brother, you know, try to go to the, you know, black-owned businesses and try to spring, you know, with black money. You know what I mean? That's pretty much, you know, it's a hard task because, you know, we're working through obstacles. You know, we got a dot on our heads. So, you know, we got to just do as much as we can with the resources and the people that we got that could talk some sense and, you know, get it back to where it used to be when we all loved each other. Mm-hmm. I just always hated on each other. Killing each other over $25 or a bag of Doritos. Like, that's embarrassing. When you hear somebody shooting somebody, another black on black crime over a bag of Doritos. You shoot somebody. You know, it's mentally, it's like a deep mental thing, man. And, you know, we just got to work toward it.
What do you think about, I haven't spoken on this since, I had Lonzo on my first from the World Class Wrecking Crew. And, you know, Lonzo pretty much, you know, put it Eazy-E and Ice Cube and Dre and helped a lot of them guys in the early days. But one of the topics we talked about was discipline. As far as discipline, what do you think about that? Do you think that's old fashioned to discipline kids? You know, when you got, and I'm saying that because, you know, just you can clearly see some of this stuff that's going on with these kids, how they talk and how they disrespectful. So does discipline, whereas it was a point where you could discipline, then in the early, maybe late 70s, early 80s, they came with that thing, don't discipline your kids. You know, but like I said, in one of my things, they'll tell you don't discipline them. But when they go out in the streets with that bullshit, the cops end up killing them. So what do you think about discipline? And if it's at home, you know, you said
you
it
know,
started.
I got disciplined pretty tough. You know, I turned out all right. You know what I'm saying? There has to be some kind of consequence if your child is doing something wrong or fucking up. It's got to be a consequence. I don't think dunce hats in the corner, timeouts is the answer. Because you keep doing that, next thing you know, you got fuck you, mom, I'm out. You know, and, you know, having broken homes is pretty tough too. You know what I mean? When you ain't got both parents, it's hard to, like, for some, say a mother working every day, it's hard for her to keep an eye on her son. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's gonna be out there doing whatever he does. And what was the other part of the question?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I was just trying to touch a little bit on that. You know, those are the ongoing topics, the health, the business, the Willie Lynch syndrome, and staying relevant. If you got any other rebuttal with any of those, then we'd love to hear it.
All I would say, man, is, you know, life is fast, man. So get it in while you can. Ain't no time for no bullshit. And you know, when I did my thing, I was young and didn't really know what I was doing. I was just going with the flow. But out of that flow, you know, I was able to get a lot of things, like a lot of rappers that's coming up probably will be happy with the type of career I have and have. From getting music on Power, you know, I was like, what? How did that happen?
What did
CBS,
you get on Power?
Hawaii 5-0. A lot of stuff on MTV, just background music. So I just be getting in background checks now. So that's cool for me. Oh yeah, Shotgun Funk is a great song, produced by the Deviants.
What is that song about?
Just on some driving in the traffic type shit, kind of. Because it got the beat is kind of mid-tempo, but I'm also kind of singing on it too. So it has that vibe of like, turn it up in your whip.
You know what? You had mentioned something earlier, and I kind of brushed by it. And it was something that I wanted to know more about. You mentioned Unity. How often did you frequent that? What can you tell me about that from Unity?
I've only been to a handful of Unities, man. And I couldn't even tell you who they were. But that Styles of Beyond one sticks out because that was like the way I kind of got on. And that one sticks out to me the most. So, yeah. But as far as Unity, it's always been a staple in L.A. I thought they were coming out with a documentary. I'm not sure. He told me it was.
So I'll interview him. I think I got an interview with him next week, and I'll ask him about that documentary. I looked at my Facebook thing. I had asked him about it, and I didn't quite get the answer yet. But, I'll be interviewing him. So, that's pretty much it, man. I really appreciate you. I appreciate all you've done for hip-hop. you know, your whole movement, you know, just keep in mind rappers over 30, what we do. And I really want to build this to be a community where we support each other, you know, and we are concerned about each other's relevancy, about each of us dealing with whatever little pet peeve. And if we got a touch of Willie Lynch syndrome, like I said, I'm not free of that. So when I'm talking about black people, I'm including my black ass too, because I fuck up too. I'm not going to get on here and make it like, oh, Imp the Great is the perfect example of something. I fuck up too, and I need to learn how to deal with my pet peeves and my issues and my bullshit, you know. And I think that's the toughest part is understanding that is something, you know, that we got to deal with within ourselves. And I always say I think we can do it on our own when we talk about our condition. We're in a condition, but we've been frightened, we've been scared in a corner from people like Malcolm X and Martin King and everybody getting murdered. So now all we do is perpetrate all this bullshit on ourselves. But I think if we stop doing that, look at these big sports arenas, look at everything that's going on where the people's making major money. Why can't we have those in our communities? Why can't we control those? And to be honest, things are starting to change. And that's why I think a lot of this racial anger has been coming from, because black people ain't been getting fucked over so much as they had in the previous years, you know. So we are getting smarter, we are getting wiser. And when people start losing their power and their money, they get upset. So we're not ripping off people for their publishing no more? We're not ripping off people for their, you know, their movie shit no more, their television, you know? So it's so much stuff that we're getting wiser on, but we could still do better. And we got to get out of the corner and stop being scared and stop perpetrating all this violence and stuff on ourselves and all this Willie Lynch and crab in a barrel mentality. So everybody listen up to that. Let's take a positive note from that. But before we leave, I'd like to know, how do you correctly spell your name? So if anybody's Googling you, they can get you. Is it with the number four? Or is you spell out the word four? Is it both ways? How do you do
it? Capital F O U R capital Z O N E.
Okay, so spell it out. Four Zone. What do you got coming up? Any of the music you sent me? Is that something new? Are you working on anything new? Or are you just chilling out right now?
I'm definitely working on something new. Definitely still getting everything situated for the next run. Okay. So yeah, definitely got some new beats, new music, new songs.
Okay, and if somebody wants to shell out that $500-$600, is that enough to get a verse from you?
I'll do it for three.
Okay, y'all got it right there. This rapper's over 30. All my people in India, shoot them $300 in American money over here, you know, and let's get some verses. Let's get some stuff going on. So this is what it's about. It's about networking, taking care of business, supporting the brothers, you know, the sisters, this rapper's over 30. And we're going to sign out, bro. You got any closing words?
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you, Imp.
Oh, hold on. I appreciate you too, brother. We cool, but you didn't give me my answer yet. You still got a question. I still gave you a question. It was Rhapsody. Which one was it? Medusa Rhapsody?
Yeah.
Oh, you made it sound too easy. So
No.
Rhapsody? Oh, Digger, that would be dope. Me.
No, Rod Digger.
Rod Digger. I told the story about her last time. They skunked us in Blacks, and what is it called? Blacks and Spades. They beat us in a ran a boss in the very first fucking hand. Me and Creepy Finger, my son. Rod Digger, and I forgot who she's playing with. My last question. This is the last verses. This one might get you in trouble.
Okay.
Dada versus who?
That's crazy.
You got it. Come on now. Dada versus who?
Corrupt.
Ooh, Dada Corrupt. All right. Dada Corrupt. I used to know Corrupt. Used to have a cool little relation from the good life, way back in the good life. So anyway, we're going to sign out. Rappers Over 30. We had 4Zone on here. The brother gave us his history. He gave us some insights, some knowledge. He taught us about autism. He told us about these verses, who he liked to see in verses, who he liked to do a song with. And that's what it is, y'all. We signing out. Rappers Over 30. Love y'all. Stay safe. Big 4Zone, I salute you for all you've done to the game. You got my number.
Salute, if
you
ever need
anything, hit me up. And we're going to take it from there, brother. This podcast will be up Thursday, tomorrow. Take care, bro. Peace. Yeah, that concludes another Rappers Over 30 episode. Go to the show notes for links and more information about 4Zone. Don't forget you can watch the video interview portion of the podcast on any smart device by subscribing to FromRapToFilm.com. If you'd like to sponsor a Rappers Over 30 podcast episode, email me at rappersover30@gmail.com. Spell out the word 30, rappersover30@gmail.com. I wish you all the best of health, happiness, and success. Stay safe, and I'll see you all next Thursday. I'm out. A change is brought about because ordinary people do extraordinary things. Barack Obama.